The vast battlefield of the WWE is much like a chessboard. Every move strategic. Every maneuver must be precise, because one wrong move could lead to total and utter annihilation. Yes. He may not know it yet, but the consumer of terrestrial entities and I have been doing this twisted little tango since the beginning of existence. But my light will illuminate brighter than any shadow his darkness may cast. Now that the new battlefield has been set, I will stand side by side with all of my woken warriors as we prepare for the great war against Bray Wyatt and his evil, heinous Queen Sister Abigail. It must be stopped.
It's like a whole bunch of words got jumbled up in your brain, and the fire marshal said, "Everybody out!"
Well, Hayes, we're back at it again. Look at this. Look at us. We're recording back-to-back episodes within a week. We got to pat ourselves on the back for that. That's something we rarely do.
I know. This definitely deserves a round of applause. But hey, we're here. We're here to talk some wrestling. I'm looking forward to it. The Josh and Hayes show, the Hayes and Josh show, whatever it's called. I don't remember. But
the Hayes and Josh show. You gotta get your brand right.
Why do I get first billing?
Well, I mean, you're the CEO, so.
Oh well, okay. I guess that's reason enough. But how's it going, Josh?
Oh, I'm all right. It's been a long week at work. Like Saturday, it was just very like a 13.5 hour shift. It was a labor intensive shift as well. So just that was, and then, you know, kind of getting up the very next day and go right back to work on Sunday. It was just like no sleep, and it's been trying to catch up on that ever since then. So, Hayes, we're recording this 7 o'clock on a Tuesday, and I'm probably going to fall asleep right after this.
Well, I mean, when you live the life of just such a vibrant bachelor as you do, I mean, I'm sure you need to get your rest in where you can. So,
sure, Hayes. Vibrant bachelor is not the two words that I would associate with my life in any respect. But how well, considering you and your Instagram, I mean, you're always dropping knowledge. I mean, you know, you're not necessarily a bachelor, but I'd say your life is pretty vibrant. How is it?
I mean, it's as vibrant as a father of four's life can be. But yeah, I try to drop knowledge bombs. People don't. It's funny. Like, I posted a picture of my son looking very, very just dapper in his bow tie. 250 likes, I think. I drop a knowledge bomb. I think maybe like 30 likes, and I have 1,800 people following me. So just let you know what they're there for. They're there for the kids, not me.
Well, I mean, that's what I'm there for, too. So, you know, I'm honestly just holding out until your kid is, you know, watching something at all. Or, I mean, you know, I'm just trying to get a podcast with your kids eventually.
Oh, well, I mean, more power to you. You're going to be waiting a while, and your hair will turn gray shortly thereafter. So
you're going to keep them away from the mics for a minute.
Yeah, I'm going to try to.
All right. Fuck. Well, you were mentioning before we started recording that you're chilling by yourself. What's your go to when you're kicking it by yourself?
I watch horror movies. Doesn't matter how crappy or good they are, because it's kind of like pizza. Even a bad horror movie, it's still a horror movie, at least in my eyes. Catch up on any wrestling if I haven't, and I usually have a beer or two, and I just relax and take it all in, man. It's a little eerie having a house quiet, because when you have four kids, your house is almost never quiet, so it's a little weird. But I'm just trying to enjoy it, because once they're back after the new year, it's gonna be it's going to be crazy again. So I'm just trying to enjoy it while I can.
What sort of horror movies are you into? I mean, are you watching horror movies or TV shows? I'm not a horror buff at all, so I'm totally unfamiliar.
If it's horror, I'm there for it. So whether it's a horror TV show, Netflix has a good one called Slasher. It's a horror TV series that I kind of watch when I don't want to sit down and watch a whole movie. I watch a couple episodes of that. Old school horror movies like Halloween, the original one, is probably my favorite horror movie of all time. And I'm really into the Blumhouse, which does a lot of horror movies. They did Split. They did Get Out. Like, I'm into a lot of their movies too. They seem to be the best ones producing horror movies right about now.
All right. Well, you give me a list that I'm going to have to listen back to and write all that down. I mean, a nice comprehensive. Might be the Hayes Horror Hour around here or something like that.
Yeah, if you ever wanted to start a horror movie podcast, I'd be your guy, because literally, all I've done since probably about the age of 8 is any chance I get, I watch horror movies. My parents used to think I was going to grow up and be a serial killer. Instead, I was a serial father. I just kept impregnating my wife, but yeah, so.
You ain't like, that's just such an odd. I've never heard that before. A serial father. I just keep. You best believe I'm cutting that. Not from the show, but I'm saving that for later, future purposes. So I would be so down. I mean, we could do that in the context of this show. I mean, we could have some special episodes where you know, we watch a horror movie and report back to it. I don't know, something to that effect. There's room for that. I like horror movies. It's not that I don't. I watched a pretty good one on Halloween night, actually, called Creep, with one of the Duplass brothers. Have you seen that one?
Yeah, I've seen Creep. That's really good.
It's very good. And so I like a good horror movie. I just don't watch a whole lot of movies or TV in general. So, you know, it's tough for me to get into. But, hey, I would be down.
That's definitely what's up. I have a funny fatherhood story, if you want it, before we move into wrestling.
Please.
So my 4-year-old son, I knew my mom was gonna call and ask him what his Christmas list was. So I prepped him. I was like, "Well, Granny's gonna call you. She's gonna want to know what you want for Christmas. I want you to tell her that you want a prostitute for Christmas." So he proceeds to get on the phone. I guess my mom asked him clearly, "What does he want for Christmas?" In the clearest diction that you could possibly have, he says, I want a prostitute for Christmas, Granny. And if you really love me, you get me too." My wife immediately looks over at me and smacks me. She's just like, "You're an asshole."
Oh my god. Well, I gotta tell you, well played in that respect. Dude, I can't imagine. I would never ever do that. So it's your wife's mother. It's not your mother?
Yeah, it was my mother.
It was your mother. Oh. Well, she still felt the need to take it out on you, because I feel like your mom channeled her energy into your wife and slapped you through your wife's body. Like, it was like some sort of spiritual thing right there, because there is no way she reacted kindly to that.
Oh no. Because I feel like part of the joy of having children is that you can get them to do funny shit like that. I find it funny. They even find it funny, but I just think the initial shock is like, this guy's such an asshole. Like, I've been a father for almost 12 years at this point. You guys should be used to it. I've been doing this shit forever. So, I mean, hey, that's on them.
Well, it's better than one time. Have I told you about what my dad said to me one time at Halloween?
No, I don't think so.
That sounds way more ominous than it truly is. All it really came down to was that I was eating a bunch of candy. My dad hands me an unwrapped piece of candy, and he's like, "Hey, try this." It's just dark and square. It looks like a piece of chocolate, so I just dig into it. It's a small piece of black licorice. Expecting chocolate, I get black licorice, and I immediately go to a toilet and throw up. So, hey, you know, there's two different ways to tease your kid.
Wow, that At least it was black licorice. See, something my dad would have done, he would have gave me like a little piece of chocolate fucking laxative or something. He's an asshole like that. So you got off easy, my friend.
Well, yeah, okay, let me count my blessings because my dad didn't purposefully give me laxatives yet.
Oh man, that's funny. That's I gotta meet your dad now, man. I have a feeling we're kindred spirits in a way. That's hilarious, man.
Well, you two would kick it off because I another one. My is similar because I was older and so I was in on the joke. And so it wasn't so much that he was just telling me to say something I didn't know what it was. I was like, yeah, all right, that's pretty fucking funny. Let's prank my mom. And so it was April Fool's Day when I was like 16 or something. Yeah, it had to be like 16 or 17 because I called my mom and because I was with my dad for the day and we were at like some sort of gun convention or something like that. And so I called my mom from it and I was like, hey, mom, you know, I went to this gun convention and I just have decided to let you know that I'm going to enter the military. I'm going to hang out. I'm out here at the base for a little bit. I'll come home eventually, but I just wanted to call you and let you know that I think we're going to enter the military. And she just what? I don't even know what to think about this. And she like goes crazy. I'm like, April Fool's, mom, look at the date. And she freaked out and it was pretty great. She smacked me too when I got home.
Oh, that's hilarious, man. I love practical jokes like that. Nothing mean spirited or anything, but just in good kind of fun. I love that shit, man. I've been smacked a mighty amount of times, and I'm just used to it at this point. I'm immune to smacks.
Immune to smackage. Okay, I like that. Well, Hayes, while we did rebrand the show, it is still our weekly recap of Impact is you know, still an essential aspect of the WWPN, and so we will continue to do that. And this past week of Impact, we had a couple of pretty good matches. Number one contenders match for the Knockouts division, an X division tag match, a six-man tag match featuring the global champion, and the Knockouts title match. So big show this week on Impact. What did you think of the show?
It was one of the better ones of recent memory. Like if we're gonna go off like the last month, I think it would have been definitely out of the last month, probably the best. Maybe even longer than that. I'm just trying to go off recent memory, but I had fun with this show overall.
I 100% agree. This is definitely my favorite show of the last month, and one of recent memory. Like I'm just going to repeat exactly what you said because it's exactly how I feel about it. Because a lot of these, you know, the matches were well built up matches that played off of stories that they told last week, and oftentimes sort of interwove stories and had some good surprises. It was a fun show from front to back. The opening Knockouts match, the four way, I thought that was surprisingly good. I did not expect it to be that good and for it to go that long. I mean, it was a long match. They gave them plenty of time and they worked really damn hard and it was really fun. It was the same thing with pretty much all the matches. I mean, the shortest match was the match with the guys that you would expect to get the longest one, you know, Patron, Johnny Impact, Eli Drake, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, it was just an interestingly booked show and one that I think that worked for the benefit of the show up and down and made everybody look good. And it was an entertaining broadcast. Did anything in particular stand out to you?
I definitely liked the fact that Laurel Van Ness won the title. I enjoyed that match. I didn't expect her to win. I tried to steer away from spoilers. The only one that I read is that, you know, she may be leaving the company. So this title win kind of caught me off guard a little bit there. But I really enjoyed that match a lot. It was probably my favorite match on this card, even more so than the six-man tag match.
Yeah, no, I think that the opening four-way might have been my favorite, probably just because in the moment I was just so caught off guard by how good that match really was. But that six-man tag was a really fun sprint, and the main event was really good too. But LVN as the Knockouts champion is a major mistake. And so I do know about her situation as soon as she won the title backstage.
I read about it. So, she asked for her release for the company, like right afterwards. Is that right?
I believe that the story goes that she asked for it pretty much as soon as she walked backstage with the title for the first time, which is like, I don't understand that even in the least. I couldn't even come up with an explanation for that.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little bit messed up that, well, not a little bit, it's pretty messed up that if she knew going into those tapings that she did not want to continue on with the company, for her to tell them, then they could have booked it differently. So now, because this news came out, she's obviously probably going to drop it at the next tapings, which really takes any suspense out of it. But, you know, I mean, it happens in this business, unfortunately. Kind of just is what it is.
Yeah, but even if she was to continue as the champion, would you really buy into LVN as the champ? I mean, I'm sort of happy that I mean, I'm not happy that she's leaving. I think that she is talented, and I think that this character is interesting, but this character is sort of I don't want to say underdeveloped because there is a motivation there that was a really well-built storyline, i.e. the wedding from last year. But at this rate, it's not her day-to-day actions aren't really well told and well explained. And so when she goes off and wins the title, for me, she seems like she's drunk all the time, and then she just goes into the ring and puts on this, like, you know, really athletic match with these really good moves, and then she immediately acts like an idiot again. It's really weird, and I don't think that she's deserving of the title. Whereas on the other half, you have Rosemary, who's super over and puts on great performances every week, and people love to see her, and she's still not the champion. It's just blows my mind that she's still not the champ. So, to me, they need to pull the trigger on Rosemary as soon as possible.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I mean, if I'm picking between LVN and Rosemary, I'm gonna pick Rosemary every time. The only issue with that is that I don't know how substantiated it is, but there's rumor that Rosemary may be leaving soon here too. And now that WWE is really going into that women's division, it's kind of like what they did with the cruiserweights a year prior. Like, are they just gonna be signing all this women talent, this female talent? And is that what's gonna be happening? So, I mean, either way, if they put it on Rosemary, who's to say following the next tapings after that, they don't have to take it off of her?
To lose Rosemary would be really, really brutal to this division and to this company in general because, I mean, she's a great, like I said, she's super over and she puts on these great matches. Her character has developed like a lot and it's changed a lot and she's really gotten into this face groove. And between her and Allie, not only do you have two great faces for the Knockouts division, you have two fa great faces for the whole company. So it would be a shame to see her leave this company in the context of Impact being enjoyable. Well, like I said, my favorite match on the show was the opening number one contenders match. After that, there was the X Division tag team match because Desmond Xavier and you know, came out to make the save against Taiji Ishimori, who was getting beaten up by the Cult of Lee. They teamed up this week to defeat Caleb Konley and Trevor Lee, and it's all signs are pointing to Mara Fuji versus Trevor Lee for the gold, which was announced for the first Impact of 2018, and a show that they announced things for, which I guess I could just run them down right now since I'm already mentioning it, including Alberto El Patron versus Eli Drake, which was definitely amplified. That fact was amplified in this six-man tag tonight. There will also be a three-man, a triple threat match for the Grand Championship, which who fucking knows how that is going to work. That's going to be a real mind fuck. And then a career versus career match, James Storm versus Dan Lambert. All of these matches announced for the first Impact of 2018. So I guess while I just ran those down, any of those in particular you're looking forward to?
You know what, honestly, I'm and this may seem like too much of a PC answer, but if I was looking at the card from this past week, I would have said that I wasn't really looking forward to much outside of the main event. So I'm going to say if they book it, if they can book it like they did last week, if they can build on that, sign me up for all of it. I just don't expect them to execute.
Hey, that's a very fair statement when you're following Impact. Not expecting them to execute it is, I mean, you could pretty much say that for anything that they continue to build up. While they had a really good show this week, they will have two straight weeks of best of shows, and then we'll have this big show. So any momentum picked up by this big episode will be gone. So typical shit right there. But we'll get into that six-man tag right now. It was Patron, Petey Williams, Johnny Impact versus Eli Drake, Adonis, and to the announcement of the Pretty Princess, Jimmy Jacobs. He came out, who he was presumed to be the mystery third man. Who's the third man? Well, it was Jimmy Jacobs, and he came out to announce that Congo Kong is, you know, I don't know. I don't remember exactly what he said, but it was proof that they're not all men are created equal. That's what he said. He said it's proof not all men are created equal, and then Congo Kong came out, and he was the sixth man in the match. I really enjoyed this match. It was a quick one. There was a lot of storytelling. You know, you'll contrast. So when I say that, I compare it. So this was a storytelling match to me. The ending, it definitely was. It was a very obvious comparison considering this weekend for storytelling matches was the Clash of the Champions tag match, which was super long, and the storytelling, I think, was okay, but it wasn't really the match itself. It wasn't the wrestlers. It was, you know, what was going on around the match. It was the rest. This one, it was what was going on in the match. I thought when Patron and Impact, they had their dissension, and then Patron pulled Impact out of the ring after he hit the Starship Pain, gave him, oh, what did he hit him for on the ramp? I think he hit him with a DDT on the steel ramp or whatever that ramp is made of. And then he goes inside, hits a splash, and pins Eli Drake, who was, you know, if it was just a splash, that'd be worse. Somebody was already out because of the Starship Pain. And then he won, and so solidifying his number one contendership. So, hey, I thought it was a really well done match, and I can't stand Alberto El Patron, but I think that he had a really good performance here.
Yeah. I mean, all the guys really performed well in this match. It was a really good match. Like you said, from a storytelling perspective, it was damn near perfect. And I like that they did it in a condensed amount of time. So, yeah, I mean, everything in this match, I think just coming away from it, I feel positive about everything that happened. Petey Williams, for someone who kind of was just completely out of the wrestling world for the most part. I mean, I can't really, before he made his re-debut or his return, I hadn't heard his name even on the indies in quite a while. So if he was doing anything, it was very, very, very small indie dates. He doesn't look like he's missed a beat at all. Like, as far as like him still being in shape, him still being able to go, it's just something that always sticks out to me because this guy was just completely gone and he's been shining since he's been in Impact, in my opinion.
Yeah, he's been fantastic. He comes through every week. Like he came back in super shape. He's a great guy that they can. I think that it's clear to everybody that they feel this way too. He's a great guy that they can build around as they are in Canada. However, they do have those upcoming Orlando tapings, so it'll be interesting to see what they do there. But Petey Williams is. I mean, no matter where you are, Orlando or Ottawa or anywhere. Everybody can be entertained by Petey Williams because he's just a really fun guy to watch in the ring, and he's a likable face to follow. So he was a great performer, and like you said, everybody performed really well in this match. So got to give kudos to all these guys. And this also was not the main event, so that was given to the Knockouts title match as it should have been. But interesting to see that they gave this match, considering that they taped so much that they just put this match on in the middle of the card. It's it made this first hour pretty intriguing. Or this was, you know, the first hour going into the second hour. It was that middle part of the show that normally sort of you just get tired of, especially last week. It was just so tiring by that point. I was ready for the show to be over. This time I was excited to see what was next. We had two good matches leading into this one, and now we're going into the second hour with some Park and Park stuff, which of course is great. Chandler Park saying that he's going, or, you know, Joseph Park again, seeming like he's conniving with somebody else, but he lies to Chandler saying that Grandma was saying that he looked great in the commercial, and then Chandler says to Joseph that he wants to start wrestling. So, hey, we're going to see Ethan Page, now Chandler Park, wrestle in Impact Wrestling. I'm excited for this, and these segments are continuing to be great. So, were you entertained by this segment? I mean, I know last week you basically said, it was surrounded by shit, so how could I get into it? But not so much this week, so maybe you had a higher opinion of the Park Associates.
Yeah, I liked it a little bit better. I don't think I'm as high on it, but it wasn't bad. Like, I will say that it wasn't bad at all. And I see some potential with these segments. It's just, you know, I mean, maybe it's just not my type of humor. Maybe that's what it is. But, well, you know, I'm not hating it.
You had to have popped. I popped, and so I assume that you have to have popped for that line. You know, I used to wrestle. I used to get in that squared circle. I even wrestled with that mid-carded Bully Ray. Dude, that was a hilarious line.
Yeah, that was a funny line. That was hilarious.
Well, we get a Moose. There was the Moose James Storm ATT segment. Hey, I love this segment. I don't know how much you want to talk about it, but I think Dan Lambert's fantastic.
Yeah, Lambert is. He absolutely is. These segments just overall, and you know, we'll get into it. We have another topic to talk about today, but you know, I'm almost ready for this stuff to go away, and not because of any of the performers. I just feel like it's just no real meat here, in my opinion. It's carried on too long. Lambert is funny. Like, I'll give him all the credit in the world, but you know, I'm just finding maybe it's because of the rumors of Lashley leaving that are keeping me from really even caring about this anymore. But you know, it is what it is.
I know that's really, it really hurts this, the rumors of Lashley leaving, because I absolutely love ATT. And to me, there is a lot of meat to American Top Team and Dan Lambert. Sorry, just my brain farted. Dan Lambert being a mouthpiece for Bobby Lashley, even though Bobby Lashley doesn't necessarily need one, but Lambert can cut a hell of a promo, and to have him positioned next to Lashley really... he sells really well for him on the mic, and his whole metaphor wherein he sees James Storm. First off, the fact that he kicked off the promo, or Lashley kicked off the promo, by calling the audience members sheep and that they'll buy into anything that Moose and James Storm are selling. And then eventually Lambert compares James Storm to the face of Impact Wrestling and the head of the snake, and the snake being the company. And he cuts off the head of the snake to prevent them from continuing to smell the snake oil to all the fans, which I thought a great callback. They double on Chandra. It was just like, it's a really smart, well thought out promo that was delivered much better than I just bumbled through. But it's just these creative things that to me show that Lambert and Lashley, it's a great duo that has a lot of life left that I don't think would be used in WWE.
Yeah, and with Lambert, you can definitely tell that he is a wrestling fan. Just by the way, like you said, he carries himself in the ring, the way he talks, you can tell he's a fan of wrestling of old. And hats off to him. I definitely think, you know, if WWE was to decide to try to use Lambert to be like Bobby Lashley's Paul Heyman, sign me up. Sign me up. If Impact continues to try to use him in a different way, I'm all there for it. I definitely think that could work, because I'm loving Lambert on the mic.
Absolutely, it's just he seems like he has so much freedom on the mic in these scenarios. And he's great. He was great at selling even the stupid things that like James Storm was saying. You know, like poo poo and whatever. It was just the kind of mediocre taunts that they began the segment with. Lambert was, you know, selling. Not like over the top too much, but he was selling to a point where he looked like a total geek, and then returned back and fired off a great promo. So, I mean, it's just consummate stuff that, like you said, it proves that he's watched a lot of wrestling and, you know, he knows exactly what he's doing. Like you said, love it, and great future here. The only other thing we haven't mentioned on Impact is the fact that Sami Callihan and Konnan had a meeting in the parking lot or wherever. There was some benches. There was some dude in a suit who hands Sandy Callahan a paper. Sammy Callahan reads it. We never get to see what it is. He gets mad about it. He sees a man in a hoodie reading a newspaper. For some reason, this man is just sitting in the park reading the newspaper. And he just snatches it and tells him to get out of here and finally finds Conan. They go back and forth. Lots of yelling. Conan was just fantastic telling the story of how he expected more from Sammy Callahan to for them to be such good competitors. He expected Sammy Callahan to be so much more intelligent, and Callahan comes off as the brash young guy, and Conan the smart, wise, older, gang leader. I thought it was a really well done segment, even as much as Callahan he tried his best to make it a bad segment because some of the things he said were so stupid. And it culminated with him throwing a fireball in Conan's face and then him yelling, "It's personal." So, I mean, I'm not here for the ending, but I thought Conan was fantastic. And the overall story that they continue to tell was really punctuated with this segment to a great degree.
Yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed the segment. I'm looking forward to this match now that they have the stipulation, no more LAX. I don't know. I haven't read. Like I said, I try my best with Impact not to read too many rumors. But so I don't know if anyone in LAX is really leaving. I think Conan got a new job working for I think it's still with it's with Aerolux. I think they have a Lucha Libre promotion. So maybe LAX is disbanding. I don't know. But I hope not. I love LAX.
My God, I watched this episode, and I watched that segment of Conan and Sammy, and I immediately just like went back and for whatever reason had this itch to watch their debut back earlier this year, which is probably my favorite moment of all of Impact this year, and one of my favorite, maybe my favorite wrestling moment this year. I swear to God, I watched it like 3 times today. It is so awesome. LAX are so awesome, and to see them disband after their just sick streak this year at Impact, they've been the lone thing that's been enjoyable many and many and many weeks. It's just, God, it would really be a reminder of the status of this company and how generally when things are you really enjoy the things that are on this show, they get taken away from you, such as Matt Hardy being taken away, and then Decay ultimately disbanding really early because Crazy Steve goes away. And it's just things begin to build up, and they begin to be great, and there's longevity there, but they get broken up, and people leave, and it's disappointed because you can't get invested in anybody like that if you know that their demise is right around the corner, and it's inevitable.
Yeah, I mean, you hit the nail on the head there. And maybe even if Conan's leaving, that doesn't necessarily mean LAX. I think, yes, he's kind of the face of LAX, and he's the recognizable face. But, they can continue on without Conan. I don't know if anyone else is leaving the company, but I don't want to see them disband. They've been one of the freshest things and kept this tag division fresh for most of this year, really. I mean, I can't remember what month they debuted, but since they debuted, the whole tag team division was basically built around them. And at one point, I think we both said the tag team division is what kept Impact fresh for a long time when everything else was kind of on the downturn here. So I don't want to see them go away.
No, absolutely not. But I do want to move on to the topic of another Impact individual, an Impact legend even leaving the company. But just final words on this episode. I thought it was really great. I would recommend, if you're listening and you haven't watched Impact lately, give this one a look. This one is, I think, features some of the best impacts, or excuse me, the best aspects of Impact these days, which are few and far between, but I think that they were compounded to a great show this week, which, especially if you're a fan of women's wrestling, two long women's matches that were both really, really good, and good one to go see. So check it out.
Absolutely.
Well, I was going to mention the fact that EC3 apparently his contract is up, and According to Meltzer, all indications point to him heading to WWE. Now, I mean, we talked about this last week, but if he was to go to WWE, would he be under EC3 or would he be under Derek Bateman, do you think?
Well, that's the question, is that he really built his name under EC3. And what the owner of Impact Wrestling said just a few weeks ago when they talked about Matt Hardy getting the gimmick, is that they were retroactively making all their contracts to where their talent can take their gimmicks with them. Now, would WWE want to use it? I don't know if Vince really would. But to be able to keep that recognition of EC3, I would hope that he's able to keep it. Now, WWE, NXT, they may look at it like, well, who's really watching Impact? Why should we keep a gimmick that they did? But I don't know. I like that whole EC3 character and gimmick and everything. So I would hope that they would keep that, because the whole Bateman thing, I mean, who even remembers that? He's such a different person from what he was then. It would almost be like a slap in the face to make him go back to that gimmick.
It would absolutely be that. I mean, it would be essentially saying that we ultimately truly do not give a shit about what you've built yourself up as outside of it. We are the ones in charge now. And it would be leaving money on the table, because, look, it would be great if, in my opinion, because I like EC3, but I think EC3 in Impact, EC3 is one guy in Impact I would not mind seeing go, because he has been there for so long and has done so much and has faced just about everyone. To see him get a fresh environment, to see him just outside of that realm, specifically in WWE, I think that would be great. And so maybe to see him drop the title on the first show of the year in Impact, and then maybe his contract's up and then it appears in the Rumble, if he owns the rights to his own song, to hear that song hit at the Rumble would be fucking amazing. But yeah, it would just be weird to not see him on Impact, but it would be ultimately a good thing.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, the Carters, just get that whole Carter shit out of Impact. But no, I mean, yeah, him debuting at the Royal Rumble, or him debuting at NXT TakeOver, whatever they're going to call it, the weekend of the Rumble, there's a lot to be said there. And I think especially if it is NXT, that crowd is going to know him so well that he's going to get a pop. He's going to get a pop like crazy. Being in Florida, as well as, you know, just the crowd that goes to these NXT shows. I worry if he was to go straight to the main roster, only because look at how they've done Bobby Roode so far. And I know you don't always watch SmackDown, so I don't know how aware you are of that, but they really haven't done much with him. And the way that EC3 is very similar to kind of how they're doing Bobby Roode since he's been in WWE. So I just don't know if they would get him quite right. But, you know, he would be a star in NXT. Like, Drew Galloway is gone, they're really missing that face like Finn Balor used to be of the company. And they never really have had that since Finn Balor left NXT. Just an NXT guy. Like, they've had people cycle in and out. Shinsuke, Bobby Roode, Drew McIntyre. Cien Almas is the champion now. They haven't really done much with Adam Cole. But EC3 is that guy you can build around. So, you know, I have high hopes for him if he does end up going over to Connecticut.
So you really do think he said on NXT he would not be going up to Raw or Impact? Because I think he's got a shot to just go straight to Raw or Impact. I think that he's that notable. But, I mean, they've put everybody in NXT, so I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, I mean, I absolutely, if we're just going off the talent the guy has, absolutely. You can make him debut tomorrow and he'd be at very minimum the biggest heel on the mid card if they want him to be, and could even go higher than that. It's just that with the way WWE does everything and with Vince having an issue with characters that weren't built in his company, I kind of see him going through NXT first. But if I had my preference, I would put him on SmackDown tomorrow.
Yeah, SmackDown to me would be fantastic, because SmackDown needs new main event talent, and hell, having him versus AJ Styles, I mean, it's not like it's never ever happened before, but it would be definitely interesting to see on the SmackDown side of things. But when it comes down to another guy that would be leaving Impact for WWE, Bobby Lashley. No chance that he's going to NXT, right?
Oh, no chance in hell. There's no way in hell he's going to NXT.
And so if he was to, if his contract were to be expiring before, I don't know when his contract is set to be up, to be honest with you. I don't know the exact date. But if it was to be around like February, he's getting free and potentially could be entering WWE after the Rumble, but still on the road to WrestleMania. Would he debut prior to WrestleMania? And if so, how would he factor into WrestleMania plans? Because they do seem to be going in pretty set directions with a number of different guys.
Yeah, so my, so with, if he debuts in February, this is how I'm going to book it right now. And I hadn't thought about this beforehand. So Braun Strowman is obviously not going to be in the Rumble because he has a championship match at the Rumble. Or I would say more than likely he's not going to be in the Rumble. They're having this whole thing with him and people wanting to defeat him because he's the monster of Raw. What better way to have Bobby Lashley show up and want to make an impact against Braun Strowman?
An impact against Braun Strowman. nice choice of words. But yeah, that would be a great thing to do. But so he would do it on an episode of Raw, and then it would build to, would it build to a Mania match, or would it build to a match at one of the shows that they have on the road to Mania?
On the, yeah, what is it? Fastlane, Roadblock, one of those two.
Great Balls of Fire, who knows?
Oh, God, yeah. But, yeah, I would say kind of a show between, because, you know, Brock Lesnar is probably not going to be on any one of those shows, so you got to kind of fill out that card. Now, do the fans of WWE remember Bobby Lashley well enough to have him, you know, kind of in a high level like that against Braun Strowman? Who knows? But I know he has a talent to it, and that's a match that I think if you give those guys and let them go and let them be physical and deliver a semi-stiff match, I think we could be wild by that, because Bobby Lashley is so much improved as a wrestler since he left WWE.
Oh, my God. Bobby Lashley is such a great talent. He would fit so well into what they want in a top guy, because he's developed. Honestly, if you're WWE, you would want a guy like Bobby Lashley to leave your company and go to Impact, because you get so much, because Impact, they don't really give a shit if you're good or bad. You've been on WWE, so we're just going to give you a mic and pray that things go over well. And so that's a great way for a guy to get a lot better on the mic, and that's what Lashley has done. He's gotten so much better on the mic. He has improved drastically as an in-ring guy, like you said, because he's continued to do it every week, and he's getting better as an in-ring guy in TV wrestling, which is not at all the same as necessarily in indie wrestling, which maybe a lot of guys would do as soon as they leave WWE. So Lashley has developed himself into a guy that WWE has to be salivating to get this guy and to bring him in as to me, there's no other place for him other than a top guy. And I mean, it's Vince. There's no other way he sees him as anything other than a top guy.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you would think so. Just please keep him away from the Titus brand. Please don't do that, Vince. Just keep him away from the Titus brand.
I'm already disappointed, and it's not even happened. But the fact that you know it's crossed his mind is just disappointing.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, like, a matter of fact, just to troll everyone, I would have his like, after he makes his debut and attacks whoever that following night, when they, of course, have the sit-down interview, have Titus come out and try to recruit him and have Lashley just destroy Titus and fucking Apollo Crews at that. Like, just make him look like a beast.
Yeah, that would actually be very enjoyable. So, hey, I like your booking this week, Hayes.
I try. I'm getting better, man. I'm trying to soak up some of Bellow's booking talent while I'm around him every week. So I'm getting a little bit better.
Shit, I want to soak up some of his editing talent. Folks, you got to check out the opening to Red Zone this week. Andrew Bellow showing off his pipes. I mean, the man can sing, I'm telling you. But in any event, we'll move on to something else.
Before we move on, I have to ask you, do you listen to our 205 Live review show?
I have not.
Because Andrew Bellow, I'll send it directly to you, because it was a couple episodes ago. What was the song? It's Amore, but he sung that and changed it to like reference Enzo Amore and Fugazi. Oh my God! It was that. I thought you didn't listen to it. when you heard the red zone and the way you reacted to him. Like, you must have not heard what he did on No Fly Zone, because he did an intro song for that too one time.
Oh, I think I remember him doing one a long time ago. But if it's one that he's done recently, then yeah, I gotta dig through and find that one, because he's got some serious fucking talent. That guy is really good. So guys, go check that out.
Yeah, to think I found Andrew Bello on Reddit. So there you go. The gift that keeps giving.
Yeah, of course. I know. Crazy. Crazy what you find on Reddit, right?
Absolutely.
Something that just happened basically right before we started recording was an update on WWE.com over something that happened last night on Raw, and that was Dean Ambrose's injury. Meltzer was saying earlier today that it was legit. WWE is now reporting that it is a high grade triceps tendon injury, possibly a tear. Sounds like that Dean Ambrose is going to be out for a long time.
Oh, damn.
This Shield reunion with a short lifespan, ultimately. Hayes, where do we move forward with these guys? Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns is already on a trajectory. He's already on the crash course with Brock towards WrestleMania. Everybody and their brother knows that. Seth Rollins, what do we do with that guy?
I mean, you have some stuff already set up, luckily, with him and Samoa Joe. Thank God the Shield Bros do not have the tag team titles. So, I mean, you really can do almost anything with Seth. Maybe he's the one who Lashley faces. Maybe it's EC3. I'm sure they have some call-ups planned around the Rumble. The Rumble's enough to where you can kind of just float him around until now, have him tag with Jason Jordan, keep that going to go against the Bar, maybe, and then really set some plans and some things going forward in the Royal Rumble match, and then that's how we get that. Because like you said, we know what's happening with Roman, so now it's just finding a spot for Seth. Luckily, Seth's talented enough to where you can do anything with him.
Oh, yeah. I mean, his match last night on Raw with Jason Jordan, I know that you and Bello maybe weren't super high on it because you guys can't stand Jason Jordan. But I think that Jason Jordan's matches have been really good. He's getting this nice streak of getting good matches on Raw, despite the fact that he himself and his character are just completely, like, it's not even boring. It's just, like, annoying. But the matches themselves have been great. And so Seth Rollins can, you know, wrestle a paper bag into a 4-star match. I mean, he's anything that he touched turns to gold. It's just I would love to see, because last year, what was his program going into Mania last year? Do you recall?
It was Samoa Joe. Remember, because Samoa Joe attacked him, he hurt his knee, yeah. So he was out a while, yeah. And then it was Triple H.
Right. So it's just I want him to have a high quality like feud that goes into Mania, which it's just I feel like they would have already had a plan that would have involved him and Ambrose going into Mania. I don't know if it would have been going against each other, them tagging together, but I feel like those two being, you know, it's them having some sort of interaction at the Royal Rumble with somebody else, or just potentially between themselves. I just feel like the injury to Dean Ambrose really affects Seth Rollins as well. Maybe Roman Reigns does not get hurt as much as Seth does by this injury. So this Shield reunion just kind of it's helped out Roman a ton by getting him over. But in terms of his plans for big matches, he's still going to get those.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well,
how do they keep Roman over in that case?
He's not. Give that up. He's just not gonna be. They're gonna come crashing back down to reality. I mean, it just sucks that the Shield was used basically just to get Roman over or favorable. But I would honestly think that. I think it was a couple weeks ago on Raw where he had kind of his solo thing. I think it was like a promo or something, and the crowd was kind of behind him. So maybe you can carry it forward enough to where. Where it's not as bad, but I mean, we all know the fix is coming with Brock. We all know that that's happening. So, you know, I mean, fuck it. What can you do about it?
Oh, you already emailed me the that's Amore. Wow, that's awesome. Thank you for that. You got right on that.
Absolutely. Like, it's saved. It's bookmarked. Like, literally, Bello is my ringtone now. Like, that's just the guy is super talented, man. It's crazy.
Well, we will move on and talk about War Machine heading to the WWE. Man, it's just WWE just getting flooded in with talent, man. War Machine, like, so one of the two, I forget which member of War Machine, but already married to Sarah Logan. And so and that was when I saw that she got married and she got this huge push up into the main roster. I thought that War Machine were dead set on coming anyway. Man, if they go to NXT, how many big, beefy, bearded teams are we going to have down there? It's just going to be the meat-slamping competition down there in Orlando, Florida. But also, I don't think that all that they're going to go straight to the main roster. Where did War Machine fit within the context of WWE?
I mean, there's a few different ways they can go. It depends. They're probably going to go through NXT, too. So, I mean, they could be the last team that AOP faces, then you can have them face Heavy Machinery. There's a lot of ways you can go with War Machine. I kind of always had this thing, and call me crazy, but they can completely repackage them and have them be Bray Wyatt's new Wyatt family. And maybe that's just too straightforward or just basing them off their looks, but Bray right now is feuding with Matt Hardy. Who's to say that they don't have a match at the Wyatt Compound or something and War Machine just doesn't destroy Matt Hardy? I don't know, man. My booking ability I used on the last booking. So right now you're going back to just raw haze here. But just as far as just from a who can they have interesting matches with standpoint, I think as long as AOP is still in NXT, you know, when you leave NXT, you go out looking at the light. So what better way to establish them than to have them go up against AOP and kind of beat them, and then AOP can move up and Heavy Machinery can take the rub from that.
Hey, them versus AOP, that's got to be like a no-holds-barred match or something like that. They could just beat the shit out of each other. That would be fantastic. It'll be interesting to see how their style would convert into WWE. I mean, part of the reason that I love watching War Machine is because they do things that make you go, oh my god, they shouldn't be able to do that. And those kind of moves are generally frowned upon in WWE. Maybe not so much in NXT, but in WWE. So a repackage to me, I don't know if they need it, but it would be a great push for like their livelihood and their career for them to be a part of the Wyatt family. I was just thinking earlier today, this Wyatt versus Matt Hardy feud, the potential that they really have to make it something really special, and to have War Machine debut on behalf of Bray Wyatt could be one of the things that they do to make it special. But you know, maybe we could brainstorm about what other things they could do, because I was thinking like all the people that they could ask to return in the context of that match and to in support of one or the other. I was thinking Gangrel coming back to support like Bray Wyatt, like just as like a one-off, like I don't know, that would just be like how in the Great War all these people just made like these one-off appearances, and it was just a funny thing. So I think that they could do something similar to that because they have such wide reach with, you know, the WWE and their ability to bring people back. I was thinking it's similar to like the Edge and Christian show. Like they brought back all these people for such these funny little moments. Like they could do the same thing with Matt Hardy and Bray Wyatt if they wanted to go that direction, but they probably don't because they take Bray Wyatt so seriously.
Yeah, you're right. We'll have to one day have a segment on how to fix Bray Wyatt because they've just completely, it's so fucking laughable nowadays. But continue. I'm sorry, Josh.
Oh, no. I was letting you say whatever you want. I mean, to me, Bray Wyatt, you just got to, like, not take him so seriously. They take him so seriously. And that was the best part about Matt Hardy was that he would be a little bit goofy. And all of the craziness that surrounded him and everything that he was saying, and while it may not make sense, it was still enjoyable to see him because it was an air of, you know, we're breaking the fourth wall. Like, we know this is crazy. And, you know, come enjoy this with us and come laugh with us. There is absolutely none of that when it comes to Bray Wyatt. It's supposed to be spooky, and it's not at all. And it's always disappointing. And so I hope that they don't go in that direction with him versus Matt, because that's not going to get Matt over, and it's certainly not going to help Bray.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have faith in the long term plans for this Matt Hardy Woken character at all. Like it's funny now, and you know the fish thing was funny. They're playing into kind of the WWE version of what they did with Impact, but there's no way they're gonna let them do the crazy shit that Impact let them do. Like, you have a fish in a bowl. We had fucking Joe Frazier as a damn kangaroo. Jeff Hardy fought a kangaroo. Like, this is not gonna happen on WWE television.
All right. But playing chess against the fish in the bowl, that was pretty funny too.
Yeah, that was funny. That was absolutely funny.
And you made a good point on Red Zone that was the first inclination that I shared. That was the first inclination that they might be doing this right with Matt Hardy, because that was something that felt straight out of Impact, and it felt like something that was written by him and that he had the creative freedom to do. So I was so happy to see that on Raw, even if it wasn't as funny as a lot of things he did on Impact. Just the concept of it, and you know, him being able to say all of his things that I imagine many people may be hearing for the first time, and I hope they can get in on the joke, and it really gets over with all those who maybe never saw it on Impact.
Absolutely. Vanguard 1, man. I'm not going to rest until we get Vanguard 1 on WWE TV. That's when I'll be fully into this character.
For me, it's Senior Benjamin. I'll pop whenever I see Senior Benjamin interfere in a match, hit somebody over the head with a shovel, and then Matt Hardy gets the pin. That's some Crash TV booking that I would love to see. But another return that we got, or not a return, but another person heading to WWE that we have got to talk about, absolutely, probably more important than any of the other ones, is fucking Ricochet coming through. Prince Puma, you may know him as, to WWE. Another, God, all these names, you can't just funnel them all to NXT, right? I mean, Ricochet is a guy that I feel is also headed to NXT, but I have no idea how he fits into the landscape of NXT, other than he's going to be in some fucking awesome matches, and I can't wait to see him no matter where he goes, because he's really entertaining. I don't know. His promo ability is definitely not there, but he doesn't need to do it that much. He could just do like a kind of generic babyface promo, like Roderick Strong kind of does a lot of times, and just go out there and let his moves do the talking. But in any event, I'm super pumped, and I think that he's probably headed for NXT. What are your thoughts, and what do you think that his future holds within the company?
All right, here's my I'm of two minds with this, because I've literally been thinking about this all fucking day. Yes, I think he goes to NXT. That's just what my first mind goes to, is NXT. But do they compare Ricochet to AJ Styles in the sense that he's one of the most over people to never be in their company? If they do, I can completely see him debut in the Royal Rumble, much like AJ did, and then maybe go over to SmackDown, come to Raw. I worry that if he doesn't spend time in NXT, they'll immediately pigeonhole him into the Cruiserweight division. Now, I think if he's coming here, I would like to think that he only comes here because he knows they're not going to pigeonhole him into the Cruiserweight division. But what better way to have him come into NXT, prove himself to Vince? Vince doesn't care for the flippy shit by all means, like what everyone says. But if you really pay attention to Ricochet and how he's changed his style over the last year or so, he doesn't do the flippy stuff as much as he used to. He's slowly worked in more of a WWE style, especially compared to where he came from and what he's done in the past. So I think he's been mentally getting ready for this for a while now. I think he's coming right to the main roster. That's what maybe it's just the fanboy in me. Maybe that's what I want to believe. He's debuting in January. This whole thing goes perfectly in the way AJ Styles. We got the rumors. We got him not taking dates. We got him playing coy about it. And he debuted at the Rumble. I think Ricochet's debuting at the Royal Rumble.
And what brand is he going to in that case?
I would SmackDown is quickly becoming the indie darling show. In the sense that Kevin Owens is there, Sami Zayn's there, Bobby Roode's there, AJ Styles is there. Yes, they have their guys in Randy Orton, Jinder Mahal, and stuff like that. Mike Bennett, Kanellis, he debuted right on SmackDown. So they've shown maybe they're more open now to having people debut right to the main roster. So I think SmackDown is going to be the place for him. I think that he can have great matches there, like I said, with the people that I've already listed. So that's my pick, SmackDown.
Hey, I would love to see him enter into SmackDown and fit into that world title picture, because now that we've moved on from gender finally after he lost a Clash of Champions, I think that it's that title picture needs some nice bodies in it. I mean, I would love to see Randy Orton in that title picture. However, it is being reported that he is going to be taking some time off coming around. He's going to be working limited dates in February and March, and he's also not advertised for a big European tour in May. So it seems like Randy is not in their future plans for the WWE Championship moving forward, even though, man, AJ Styles versus Randy would be so great, just as the as a prolonged feud that goes into a Mania build. That would be the tits. But anyway, that doesn't seem like it's going to happen. So I would love to see, you know, maybe not Ricochet, because I don't think that he's necessarily ready to be in the WWE title scene, but to have him be one of those guys that is upper mid-card, gets in these big matches but can't get the job done, but he sometimes gets these one-on-one matches with AJ Styles, like non-title matches on SmackDown that just like tear the house down on free TV. Just that would be awesome, and he would get over really fast. And so I don't think at all he would get Apollo Crews syndrome if you just put him into big matches. So they would need to do that. If they don't do that, he may actually end up being Apollo Crews.
Oh my God. Oh man, if WWE doesn't get Ricochet right, like, no, please don't. You just fucking gave me a heart attack, man. Him and Apollo Crews are best friends too. If they put him in the fucking Titus brand, god damn it, I'm gonna have a rant of all rants in this shit. Oh my god, fuck.
Bobby and Ricochet are both headed to the Titus brand.
Oh shit. What the fuck?
They don't see color, dude.
Whatever. That's bullshit. They might as well rebrand them the Nation of Domination at that point.
Most dominating brand in sports entertainment.
Fuck.
Well, they would also have Dana Brooke in there, so, you know. Is she ostracized from there? Is she joining the not the Nation? I almost just called them the Nation of Domination, the Titus brand. Oh, sorry, I didn't pay attention to her minutia. Did her storyline progress on Raw?
No, I mean, other than her being in you said Dana Brooke, is that where you're asking?
Yeah.
No, other than her being in the Women's Royal Rumble, no storyline progress. Like Dana Brooke at this point is a prop. That's all she is. She is a prop. Whatever.
Oh, well, she's gonna be one of the many bodies in the Women's Royal Rumble. Who do you got winning the Women's Royal Rumble? Yeah, say that five times fast.
It kind of has to be Asuka, right?
It would be, but it won't be. And you want to know why? Because they see this as an opportunity to not put over Asuka, because it doesn't mean that they will break her undefeated streak. So I'm telling you, that's where their headset's at. So I'm telling you, they're not going to let Asuka win this, because they don't think right in how they book things. They don't think about building Asuka up as an unbeatable force who should just dominate the Women's Royal Rumble, crush everybody's little nostalgic dreams, and make a huge statement. That would be an awesome thing that they would do, and they would create a star overnight with Asuka. But they won't do that. They'll have her lose due to some bullshit, have her get, I don't know, thrown out by Nia Jax, and they build a feud to there or something. But they're gonna have her lose, because it's not going to count as a loss on the record.
Yeah, and plus there's talk of Ronda Rousey. Ronda Rousey, if I can talk, making her debut at this Royal Rumble. So,
yeah, I would say that Rousey's going to win it. I mean, if that's the case, it would be Rousey winning it. And shit, you could build to Rousey versus Asuka. How about that?
Ooh. That, see, either her or Charlotte, like Rousey versus Asuka or Charlotte, sign me up for either one of those. So I'm there with you, man.
Well, the only reason that I think I didn't even think of Charlotte, which is odd, but like the reason I think directly of Asuka is because they kind of give Asuka the MMA, like the commentators put her over as an MMA style fighter, and that she comes from Japan, so like she's given a lot of like kicks and. Her moveset is sort of a combat sports style moveset. So, Charlotte versus Ronda would be a sports entertainment sort of wrestling match, but Asuka would work a match with Ronda that would come off with as a more MMA vibe, which I think that they would want to do while they have Ronda.
I agree with you there.
And so, but the rest of the Four Horsemen in that case, would they? So would they be going up against one of the factions at WrestleMania? What do we do with these women's factions that have been running wild on Rollins? I don't know why we're just booking WrestleMania here on this episode of the Hayes and Josh. So I don't know. We're talking about that. It's on my mind. So what are we doing with Absolution, which I agree with you is a god awful name, and the Riot Squad, which is another god awful name.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know what they do with this. I think now that more so than having a long-term plan with the faction, these factions are just a way to get more bodies up for this Royal Rumble. That's what I think that this
was. Yeah, it's become obvious and clear. And it's really disappointing because these should be big deals. Like, these should be built up like especially Absolution should be built up like Evolution. I mean, they're drawing obvious comparisons, but they won't give them the shine that they gave Evolution. Obviously, there's a limitation because the women's division doesn't have as many belts. There's just obviously the one. But you put that belt on Paige, and then you put over Mandy and Sonya as like these just unbeatable forces, and they become this like really like grade A top heel faction stable that could go down in the record books and could go down in history as a memorable team. But I don't think either one of these teams are going to be memorable, and I don't know how long they'll even last, especially Riot Squad. I think that one just doesn't have much trajectory at all, because I don't see Ruby Riot as somebody that people buy into as being a believable faction leader.
Yeah, I agree with you there as well. I think, you know, Absolution maybe can stick around a little bit longer, maybe. But I think Riot Squad, maybe they break up in this Rumble. Like, maybe one of them eliminates the other and they just disband shortly thereafter. I just don't see anything long-term. Like, I like all the women in the faction. I honestly do. I see why they're there. I can see longevity there. Ruby Riot is great. I'm so happy she's on the main roster. But just them as a unit, I mean, even in with the way the women's roster is on both brands, there's really not room for factions, really, in my opinion. That may be just a me thing, but I just want to see good matches. I want to see the women treated right. They have a lot of bodies on both rosters now, and I hope that after this Royal Rumble, we just don't see a lot of them anymore. Like, I just hope they don't build to this gimmick, and then it's just, oh, well, until we find another thing we can throw 20 women in, some of you guys just aren't going to be on the show for a month.
And I just, that's such a brutal way of describing, like, so you would personally do that, or you think that the WWE would do that? Like disband the Riot Squad instantly, like, just all this.
I wouldn't be surprised if they did. I just wouldn't. Like,
but would you personally?
No, I wouldn't. I would find a way. Like, if you brought them up together, have them, like you said, some Evolution or something like the Shield with the women, like, have them have a 6-month to year reign of terror. Why not? Like, you have talented women in the ring. Like, I wouldn't mind seeing it. I wouldn't break them up. I'd try to figure out some way to use them.
I mean, I agree, because I don't even know, first off, if I would have brought them up at all, but it, if we're talking after the fact, just let them try to get over. If it fails, it fails, and then they can get themselves over individually. But while they're a faction, don't just let them debut and be dominant for, you know, a couple weeks or, you know, a month, and then just completely drop their dominance and make them just like everybody else. I mean, just seeing Asuka run out there on Raw like she was just another girl in the, or just another woman in the division, was just really disappointing, and she shouldn't be treated like that. Same thing with these factions, but in any event, we've covered a lot of different bases on this show. I don't know if there's much more in the world that we could cover. Hayes, can you think of anything that you would want to cover?
No, I think that's it. I think we hit the nail on the head there.
Well, we've hit a lot of different nails and a lot of different heads.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We did it. This is what we're here. This is what we do, Josh. That's why this show is so amazing, because you never know what topics you're going to get. You never know what jokes we're going to get. You never know what funny fatherhood stories that I'm going to tell about telling my son to order prostitutes. You just never know.
Yeah. Hey, I mean, it's just we're all over the place. Oh, God, I don't know what he's even saying at this point. It's just you've summing it up so much better than I, and it's been a wild episode of the Hayes and Josh show, but we're going to wrap it up because, as you can tell, it's tired. it's late, and I'm tired, and I can barely even talk at this moment. Hayes, please plug us, plug your shit, and let's get us out of here.
Well, you can follow me at CEO Hayes. That's at CEO Haize on Twitter. You can also go to thewpn.com where you can find this podcast as well as all the podcasts on our lovely network. Definitely check us out there on Twitter. We are thewpn, and also new updated. Our email now is thewpn@gmail.com. Everything is thewpn, so check us out.
What would people want to email that email address for, Hayes?
Any questions, comments, topics, concerns, ideas, praise. And just generally, if you just want to talk wrestling, because that's one thing that we are very good at here at the Wrestling World Podcast Network, is engaging with our listeners. Anyone that you contact at the WWPN, we love engaging. And a lot of our listeners have guested on the podcast, and a lot have become hosts as well. So no other network is doing it like we're doing it with the engagement.
Yeah, it's a unique opportunity for any of you listening. If you would want to be featured in any capacity, just reach out to us, get in touch with us, and let us know that you're fans of the show, and we'd love to interact with you guys in any way, shape, or form that we possibly can, because we love the fact that you guys continue to listen to the show. For me, I'm at VERLANDJ on Twitter. That's Verland J, and that's Twitter, Instagram, everything else. Hayes made all the WWPN plugs, but the Hayes and Josh show, we're going to be recording again this Thursday evening after Impact Wrestling, and so be having an episode up this coming weekend. So we'll cover, like I said, Impact, any and all things that happen on SmackDown, which is starting as we speak right now, NXT, anything that crosses our mind. But we'll speak to you then, and enjoy the rest of your week.
We are out.
Peace.